But first up, we're going to be chatting to Lisa Howard. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. I'm fine, thanks. And yourself?
Oh, sure. I'm great form. Do you have a joke for us this morning?
No, I don't have any this morning.
Well, I think if you listen to the show all the way through the show, you're going to get loads of them. And they're all going to be dad jokes.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. I don't
okay.
have any, I'm sorry.
Hang on one sec. I think you're a little low.
Okay.
Oh, no, there you go. I think that's better. Check that one there for us, Lisa.
Is that okay?
That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Lisa, let's get straight into it. People with disabilities, what are the issues and the impacts of COVID-19 for them?
The impact and issues regarding the current situation of COVID-19 or coronavirus, as we all know it as, with most people with all disabilities, we all come with underlying health issues, which means that for some serious cases, like cystic fibrosis, you know, like people with lung issues such as cystic fibrosis, or other organ issues, you know, like with kidneys, say for somebody on dialysis, some people with some physical disabilities such as spina bifida, they have trouble with their kidney function, so which means that they could be either prone to infection or they could be in a stage of kidney failure, which would mean that their immune systems are low, so they could catch anything that's either in the air or any infection that could be going around, such as COVID-19. Since it's a very serious infection, it could, as you've seen through the past weeks and months with COVID-19, it could kill.
Sorry, go ahead.
Obviously, as we've seen through the past weeks and months with COVID-19 since December, since the first case was heard of back in China, the condition is predominantly fatal in most cases, and in other cases they can survive it, but with the long-term effects of COVID-19 or coronavirus, it could stay with them after the infection has cleared. With other people with spina bifida and other disabilities such as that, their organs could be infected, could be prone to infection because they're either weak or they're not functioning to their full capacity. And also with that being said, that your immune system could be down, which would mean that you're prone to anything, not just to the coronavirus. It could be any infection in general.
And tell me this: you yourself are in a wheelchair.
Yes, I am. I am in a wheelchair. I have a physical disability. My disabilities are spina bifida and hydrocephalus. I've also got kidney issues. I had a kidney transplant 11 years ago. I'm coming up to the 11. I'll be 11 years done. 11 years out of transplant in December coming. So I'm doing very well at the minute. But obviously, with the current situation, I have to be very careful because of you wouldn't know what other viruses are going around or I could be susceptible to.
And tell me this. What are your normal daily routine? How has it been upset by recent events?
By recent events with the COVID-19 going around, I would be more restricted to staying at home, and instead I'm not going out as much as I used to. Daily chores, you know, like shopping or would that be weekly, depending on the situation or the case. I would go out to the shops maybe at the weekends and do a weekly shop. But at the moment I'm doing that, but I used to go out like twice over to the shop, you know, like didn't get them as I need them. But with the current situation, I can't do that, so I would only be over there at least once, at the most once a week at the moment. And I try to more or less stay in the house and keep to the regulations, you know, like with the sanitising and the washing of hands, you know, like on a regular basis. And just staying away from people who generally have, you know, like the common cold or a flu-like symptom or any other illness that would be visible to the person beside me or that I would be next to. Because I have a low immune system, I could pick that up and I could end up very sick.
And tell me, how are you keeping yourself busy? And I mean that in your mind and physical exercise as well.
Mentally, I'd be keeping healthy in the way that I won't be watching the news bulletins, you know, like on TV, or I wouldn't be listening to the news bulletins on the radio. Let's say all day, as that would do your mental health harm. I'd only watch the TV bulletins, you know, like at the main times, you know, like maybe first thing in the morning and then either at the 6 o'clock bulletin or the evening bulletins to get the updates on the current situation. But I try to stay away from the news bulletins as much as possible, because it just seems to be all about the international effect that this pandemic of coronavirus has on everyone.
Yeah, it's a bit depressing. Listening the whole time. I think for anybody, and it's not just people who are stuck at home, but for anybody to be constantly listening to that depression, it would have an effect on your mental health.
It definitely would, because if it's the only news headline going, either through the TV or the radio, you know, like nobody will want to listen to it, you know, like as time goes on, you know, like so they need, you know, like the more we listen to other stories through the media, the more interested we get in them, rather than listening to the daily or hourly updates with regards to COVID-19.
I'm the chair of the Dublin North Central Older Persons Council. Mm-hmm. And the one of the things that I'm trying to let older people know while they're at home, they should keep up their activities. And there are ways for people to do that at home. You know, you can even do a sitting in your chair when just lifting water bottles up, you know, instead of using them like dumbbells, just ordinary water bottles, you know, start off with the small 500 mils. And if you get better at it, you can use heavier. Loads of different ways, you know, sitting in the chair, bending over and touching trying to touch the ground, you know, and doing little routines like that. Are there anything like that you would be doing?
I would probably be doing the same, you know, like if I'd probably bend down, you know, like if I need to reach something and pick it up and do it that way, or, you know, like as I'm going throughout the house, or, you know, like when I'm, you know, like in each room, if I need to tidy something away, pick it up off the floor, or, you know, like put something away that needs to be put away, you know, like which I would need to be leaning over or bending down to open something or pick something up off the floor or push something over, you know, that needs to be pushed out of the way.
Yeah, and it's so important to keep yourself active. I think the experts say that you should get up and do something, move around every 20 minutes.
Yeah, that would be right, every 20 minutes, just so you could break the routine of staying in one position for a long periods of time in one go, as that would stiffen up your muscles and you know, like you wouldn't be able to move as great as you would have been.
Indeed. And tell me this, how are you fixed for, you know, your daily shopping and things like that? Are you, is there anybody getting things for you, or has there been any offers of help in that way?
Yeah, well, I'm actually quite lucky because I still live here in Portmarnock where I grew up, and I have my immediate family, my parents and my sister, still here in the village. But my parents live in the main village. I live in a housing estate just off the village, and my sister lives further up the other end of Portmarnock. So we're all quite nearby, and I'd hear from my sister or from my parents at least once a day, checking in on me to see if I need anything and if I'm okay.
And is there, yes, if you had the opportunity to talk to Minister Harris or the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, what would you be asking them to do?
If I was to meet the ministers, I'd probably ask them to put in more guidelines as to people going out, you know, like myself with a disability, or older people that can't get out as often or as much as other people can, and that in terms of getting shopping or, you know, like the necessities in, we could ask them to get more assistance available to us to meet, you know, like meet our needs and assist with us in getting chores completed within the day.
And tell me this, they announced yesterday that they were talking about introducing or supporting cocooning of older people or people with underlying health conditions, more vulnerable people. How do you feel about this idea of cocooning?
The cocooning for the implementation of the couple of hours that they're implementing for older people and people with underlying health issues for shopping, I think that's a very good idea in this current situation, you know, like as to so that the people with disabilities, underlying health issues, or older people, they would be able to do their shopping in peace, that they wouldn't be surrounded, let's say, by the younger people or other people that may have other serious health issues, that they can do their shopping when they can go and get it, without the fact of knowing that that person will be next to them, and that there's a chance that it might pick up something that might be airborne, or something from their condition that may be passed from person to person.
And I note that a number of the large supermarkets, and I'm sure the small ones as well, are introducing times, you know, from, we'll say, 9 in the morning till 11 or 8 in the morning till 10 to support people who are that little bit more vulnerable, that, you know, that would be their time to come in, so there'd be less people in the shops and they would have more of a chance of getting round. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, that would be a very good idea, because it'll make it faster, and it'll make them aware that they can take their time in going around the aisles and through the shop to get what essentials they are gone to the shops for. In the fact that knowing that there'll be no other groups of people there that would be either trying to get past them within a small space distance, or trying to lean over them when they're trying to get their products off the shelf, or their groceries off the shelf. They know with the new implementation of the new time frame of 9 to 11 or 11 to 1 for people with disabilities or elderly, or underlying health issues, that there'd be less people in the way or less people in the shop at those times to for those people to go into the shop and get their shopping done without having to bypass other people or lean over people to get their groceries off the shelves.
And
being in the queue at, let's say, a deli or a butcher's at the back of the shop, that they'd be first in queue to get the stuff that they're looking for.
Indeed. And I also believe on Post are doing something similar on particular days, that they're allotting certain hours for the elderly and those people who are a little bit more vulnerable can come in to the post office in, you know, a more safe environment.
Yeah, that would be a similar situation to the retail, where they're restricting or accommodating a 2 to 3 hour space for the elderly to, let's say, pay a bill or collect their pensions from the post office when they go down to get it on the days that they need to go and get their pensions or pay off bills that would be made payable through the post office.
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a lot of things going on at the moment to support people. But I think it's great. But I also think that it's important that self-isolation or a bit cocooning should also have an element of supporting someone to be able to get out to get a bit of fresh air, to get a bit of activity into them, because that'll keep them healthy. Would you agree with that?
I do indeed. You know, to keep them healthy, you know, like obviously with the shopping, they need to keep buying the goods that, you know, like that would keep them healthy. You know, like the sticking to their regular diets. You know, especially if they're, you know, like special dietary needs, or you know, like they'd need to keep to a diet that would be accommodated to them, or also they would they can get their shopping and get whatever the essentials they need for the time that's being allocated to them.
So, Lisa, you've been extremely good with your time chatting to me. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Also, with regards to, let's say, social events, you know, I know they've have an implementation nationwide saying that any gatherings for 100 to 500 people outdoors and indoors have been cancelled or not allowed to go ahead on under the circumstances. If it comes to an event, an outdoor event, where the event has to go ahead and they can't reschedule, is that they have to stick to the current guidelines of the social distancing, which is, I think, 2 meters or 6 feet apart. If and where possible, try and implement that. And also sticking to the guidelines of the sanitising and the hand washing, if and when necessary. And obviously trying to keep all diseases, and especially COVID-19, to a minimum.
Yeah, it's so important that over the next 15, 16 days that we try and keep the number of cases, new cases, mm-hmm. coming through to a minimum. The more we do that, I personally think the critical time for us now is over the next 15 or so days, that we actually really get a grip of this and hold it down, because that will impact everything going forward as well.
Yeah, it would have an impact on once this crisis is over with. It will have a long-term effect on everyone in some shape or form, whether it be health, social activities, or general life. Social events, gatherings, or family life, and it could have an overall effect in all aspects of life.
Yes, it's certainly it's something like this. Certainly, it's food for thought about how free we really are when there's nothing like this around, that we can basically go out and do whatever we like, and it's suddenly you only get an appreciation for it when suddenly are restrictions on you.
Yeah, you do. You suddenly, because of the restrictions that are being implemented on people, they become more appreciative of other things in life. And it's only when those implementations are, or when those restrictions are implemented, that people realise just how fragile things really are, and how they could miss, you know, the simple stuff, you know, like going out or meeting up with people under the current circumstances.
Lisa, it's been it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Hopefully we'll talk to you again very soon.
Okay. I hope so too.
You take care of yourself. Stay well.
I will.
Stay safe.
I will.
All the best, Lisa. Take care.
All right. Thanks very much, Mike.
Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
There we go. That was Lisa Howard. And Lisa is a regular contributor to the show here on Lifeline. And she has a great insight to the issues and the impacts of different things on people with disabilities.